From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Frances Alonso reporting. For the seventh and final time of his presidency, President Barack Obama will stand before Congress and the American public to lay out his vision, not only for his remaining months in office, but for the future of the United States. President Obama said in an Oval Office video previewing his State of the Union address that he has never been more optimistic about the path that the United States is on. This optimism, according to White House officials, will be showcased when the president addresses the nation for his last State of the Union address on Tuesday. VOA will carry live coverage of the president's speech beginning Wednesday at 2 hours Universal Time. A round of United Nations brokered Yemen peace talks will not begin on January 14th as planned, but may take place a week or more later. That's according to UN spokesman Ahmed Fezawi. He was speaking to a regular UN briefing in Geneva Tuesday. A coalition led by Saudi Arabia and its Sunni Muslim allies has been fighting the Shiite Houthi movement. The warring parties agreed last month on a broad framework for ending their war, but a temporary truce was widely violated and has since been ended. German police arrested more than 200 far-right extremists who went on a rampage in the eastern city of Leipzig, setting cars on fire and damaging property. The chaos began late on Monday at about the same time thousands of supporters of the anti-migrant Pegida movement demonstrated carrying signs that were saying freedom for Germany. German Chancellor Angela Merkel says she's seriously concerned that German citizens might be among the victims and those wounded in an explosion in Istanbul that killed at least 10 people earlier on Tuesday. In comments to reporters, she said that apart from the grief they obviously feel, they need to act decisively. VOA News. Myanmar pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi is calling for all factions to be included in the newest round of peace talks between armed ethnic groups and the country's outgoing quasi-civilian government. In this time, based on the mandate, it's right to do what the people wants us to do. We are ready to take responsibility of building forever peace. The Nobel laureate made those comments Tuesday at the opening day of negotiations in the country's capital. The Taliban said Tuesday that it had been convinced by Qatari mediators to release a Canadian man on humanitarian grounds after holding him hostage in Afghanistan for nearly 5 years. The Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister announced Monday the release of Colin Rutherford. He went to Afghanistan in 2010 and was reported missing in February 2011. A Taliban video 3 months later accused him of spying, but Rutherford said he was just a tourist interested in history and historical sites. An agreement between the government and opposition forces has allowed dozens of trucks to deliver food, medicine, and blankets to at least 3 besieged towns in Syria. Abdulaziz al-Mashi, co-founder of the Syrian Solidarity Movement, blames the regime of Bashar al-Assad for widespread suffering of those who have died of starvation.
Assad has been using food as a weapon for almost 3 years. So basically, when Assad failed to break into the opposition-held areas by force, he used like all kind of weapons he has got, including chemical weapons, and then he started using food as a weapon.
However, Syria's UN ambassador, Bashar Jafari, said his government is cooperating with the aid delivery and blamed what he called armed terrorist groups for the humanitarian disaster.
The reality of the so-called besieged hard-to-reach areas is that some of those areas are controlled by terrorist groups who are using civilians as human shields, and other areas are besieged from the terrorist groups who are preventing the delivery of humanitarian assistance.
You can read more details on the progress of the aid delivery at voanews.com. British oil and gas company BP announced plans Tuesday to slash 5% of its global workforce in the face of a continued slump in oil prices. It said it aims to reduce its global oil production, its headcount by 4,000 to 2,000, as it under 20,000 rather, as it undergoes a $3.5 billion restructuring program. With crude oil prices at 12-year lows of around $32 a barrel, the world's biggest oil and gas producers are set to continue aggressively slashing spending this year as they face their longest period of investment cuts in decades. I'm Frances Alonso in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.